Amen. Thank you, Pam. So today we're continuing our series called Fearless, or Fearless, depending on how you want to pronounce it or how ambitious you are. And this is all about the idea of through faith becoming more courageous people. Our theme verse for the series has been on the screen this whole time. God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And too many times in our lives, we shrink back. We get smaller. We try to protect ourselves in our lives because fear is such a reality for us. We live in anxious times. I'll talk more about that a little bit later. But the idea that is that we can, if we're not careful or if we're not intentional, live our lives with this kind of low-level fear that creeps in, or even high-level fear sometimes that creeps in all these different areas of our lives. And so for the last few weeks, we've been going through different stories of the Old Testament and seeing these characters, these biographical studies that we've been doing about these different people, men and women of the Bible, who step out in courage, and God calls them to do something, and God encourages them to not be afraid, but to step out and follow the calling on their life. And so we've been talking through different people in the Bible, Moses, Esther, Gideon, Caleb, Abraham, and now today we're going to be looking at the life of Joshua. So we're going to be studying Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and that'll be on the screen behind me. You can follow along on your Bibles or devices as well, and we'll get there in just a moment. But I want to set the stage for where we are in this study. So Joshua chapter 1, our story begins after, really right where the book before it left off. Sometimes the books of the Bible are not in that kind of order, but this one, Deuteronomy ends, and Joshua picks right up where Deuteronomy left off. And the circumstances are these. Joshua is now in charge of Israel. He's been placed in charge of Israel by God, by Moses. The people have endorsed his leadership. And Joshua has been Moses' second in command for the events of the Exodus, the events of traveling in the wilderness. He was one of the spies that spied out the Canaan, the promised land. If you were here for the week that we studied the life of Caleb a couple weeks ago, we talked about Joshua on that week as well. And so Joshua has been sort of the understudy. He's been the second in command. He's been following Moses, and God has now said, Moses is dead. Joshua, it is now your turn to lead, and that's where our story picks up. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So Joshua's circumstances are challenging. He's not only taking over after a beloved leader who's led the people of Israel for many years, Moses, yeah, that Moses, you know, he's the next one to come up after Moses and lead God's people. Not only is he taking leadership over this entire nation, but they're about to go on a military conquest. They're about to take the promised land, the land that God has promised them. And he said, I'm going to go with you, but you got some battles to fight. And God is speaking to Joshua in a very direct way. And the words are, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, Joshua. Be strong. And it's repeated three times. And you've heard the phrase, a tough act to follow. You know that phrase? Like Moses, I think, would be the epitome, right, of that, of a tough act to follow. How do you follow Moses? Right? He's the guy who was there at the very beginning. He was the one who went and said to Pharaoh by way of Aaron, let my people go, you know, and the miracles and the crossing of the Red Sea. And now Joshua gets to take over for Moses and lead a military campaign. And I think we get some insight, even though we're not told Joshua was very scared, we are told God speaks to him in such a way that gives us insight about how he must have been feeling in this moment. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Joshua must have been afraid. And I love that God does not just go and say, hey, stop being afraid. Stop being afraid. In fact, I want to show you a video clip that reminds me of when I think about that idea that God could have said, just stop being afraid. Let's take a look at this video clip.
Dr. Switzer?
Yes, come in. I'm just washing my hands.
I'm Catherine Bigman. Janet Carlisle referred me.
Oh, yes. Feels being buried alive in a box.
Yes. Yes, that's me. Should I lay down?
Oh, no. We don't do that anymore. Just have a seat. And let me tell you a bit about our billing. I charge $5 for the first 5 minutes. And then absolutely nothing after that. How does that sound?
That sounds great. Too good to be true, as a matter of fact.
Well, I can almost guarantee you that our session won't last the full 5 minutes. Now, we don't do any insurance billing, so you would either have to pay in cash or by check.
Wow. Okay.
And I don't make change.
All right.
And go.
Go.
Well, tell me about the problem that you wish to address.
Oh, okay. Well, I have this fear of being buried alive in a box. I start thinking about being buried alive and I begin to panic.
Has anyone ever tried to bury you alive in a box?
No, but truly thinking about it does make my life horrible. I mean, I can't go through tunnels or be in an elevator or in a house, anything boxy.
So what you're saying is you're claustrophobic.
Yes, that's it.
All right, well, let's go, Catherine. I'm going to say two words to you right now. I want you to listen to them very, very carefully. Then I want you to take them out of the office with you and incorporate them into your life.
Well, shall I write them down?
Well, if it makes you comfortable, it's just two words. We find most people can remember them.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, here they are.
Stop it!
I'm sorry?
Stop it!
Stop it?
Yes, S-T-O-P, new word, I-T.
So, what are you saying?
You know, it's funny. I say two simple words, and I cannot tell you the amount of people who say exactly the same thing you're saying. I mean, this is not Yiddish, Catherine. This is English. Stop it.
So, I should just stop it.
There you go. I mean, you don't want to go through life being scared of being buried alive in a box, do you? I mean, that sounds frightening.
It is.
Then stop it.
I can't. I mean, it's been with me since childhood.
No. We don't go there. Just stop it.
So I should just stop being afraid of being buried alive in a box.
You got it. Good go. Well, it's only been 3 minutes, so that will be $3.
I only have a five, so.
Well, I don't make change.
All right. So I was thinking about that idea of just saying, stop it. You're feeling you're afraid of something, and just knock it off. Just stop being afraid. And I think sometimes When we think about the Christian life, we can think about it in, along those lines. I am fearful. Okay, we'll just stop it. Okay. Yeah, I'll just stop then. And sometimes, like, we know it's not that easy, right? And that's really not the Christian message either. You're struggling in some area. Here's what we think the message is sometimes. We say, here is a struggle. Here's an area where I'm struggling or an area where I'm sinning. And we think the message is like, okay, we read God's word, and it says that what we are doing is wrong, so now please stop. And we go, okay, I will stop. And you might try that for a while in your own power to see the areas in your life where you're falling short of what God's plan is for you, or some area where you're not living up to what God is calling you to live up to. And you go, well, I just need to try harder, or I need to stop it. And that's not actually what the Christian message is. Here's all the areas where you're messing up, knock it off, and start doing the right thing. No, the Christian message is that Christ will live his life through us, that we can walk with him. We can abide in Christ, as the Gospel of John describes it. That he is the vine and we are the branches, and we can actually have his life be lived through us. That when we come to Christ and we begin a new life with him, that he gives us his Spirit. And that changes everything, and we can walk with him. And as we walk with him, these things change. Our lives are transformed. It's more than just out of your own effort, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and knock it off, you know? It's more than that. And I love that the Father here, that God the Father gives Joshua not just the instruction to not be afraid or to be strong and courageous, which he does. He does say, don't be afraid and be strong and courageous. But he gives him reasons, and he gives him help for being strong and courageous. And we're going to look at three things that God gives him in this passage. So there's three different commands: be strong and courageous. It gets repeated three times, or be very strong and courageous. But then in addition to that, we are given extra help. Joshua's given extra insight into why he should be strong and courageous. And the first reason is God's promises. God's promises. He says, I've given you the land. Every foot, you know, every place you place your foot, I'm giving to you. It's like a gift for you. And I'm going to provide it for you. You have to be the one that takes those steps, but I'm giving you that land. And then he promises that he's going to be with him as well. And when you read a passage like Joshua 1 and you see these promises that God is making to Joshua, as people in, you know, modern times and thinking about how does this work in a Christian's life, this is not necessarily your promise that everywhere you put your foot, you can claim it because God's given it to you. That's not your promise. That was Joshua's promise. In fact, don't try that. Like, go walk in your neighbor's yard. This is now my land, you know. Don't do that. That was Joshua's promise. This was a point in history where God was promising to the nation of Israel, I'm giving you this land. The land that's before you, you have to walk, you have to take the land. There's battles ahead, but I'm giving it to you. You will be victorious, the promise that comes before that. So that's not our promise necessarily, but we have other promises that we certainly can claim as followers of Christ. And those promises can help us to be courageous. They can help us to face difficulties with courage. And we have these promises like, you know, Romans 8:28, where God promises to work all things together for good to those who love him, that he will work things into his purpose, that he will take situations and circumstances and weave them together into this good story that he is telling. Or we have these other promises like, we will not face a temptation that's beyond our ability to bear, that God will provide an escape if we're facing a temptation. That promise can give us courage as well. Or that my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. We have those promises that we can hang on to, and those promises give us courage. When we face difficult situations, we face fearful circumstances, God's promises, just like Joshua could grab onto these promises that God was giving him, we also have promises that we can grab onto when we're feeling fearful. The second thing that God gives him here is these practices, these spiritual practices. And he says that he tells him to be strong and very courageous. This is verse 7 and 8. Be strong and very courageous. And then he says, be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. There are spiritual practices that God gives Joshua that will help him be courageous. Specifically, he says, God's word, my words to you, this book of the law, what God had given them and what God had revealed about who he is and what his will is, that you shall meditate on God's word day and night. He said, I want this to be something that just inhabits your life, that God's word would be a way that you draw near to me, that my words to you would be something that draws you near and gives you courage and gives you strength. And this word meditating on it day and night, this you shall meditate on it day and night. There's this word in the Hebrew, it's like the idea of mumbling something. Kind of a under your breath, just constantly speaking God's word. Like when you're thinking about, so I don't know how many of you talk out loud when you're trying to figure something out. But it's not for anybody else, it's for you, you know. It's this idea of just kind of saying something at a quieter, you know, volume. And you're just kind of talking to yourself as you're trying to figure something out and you're thinking about something and you're, you know, kind of sort of mumbling where, because it's not for anyone else to hear. It's just kind of you thinking through something. It's that idea of God's word being something that just is inhabiting Joshua and that he's thinking about it. And that knowledge is not just to fill his head up with knowledge, like you just, now you know all the Bible verses because you've been thinking about it so much. He says, no, so you'll be careful to do what I've commanded you. That knowledge is supposed to lead to obedience. And so God gives him these practices as well that will be a source of courage and strength for him. And my hope and my prayer for you as well is the same thing, that you might have spiritual practices that are a source of courage and strength for you, that you might be strong and courageous, and you might use times like this, the spiritual practice of being together with your church family and worshiping God, and then other times of being in prayer and being in God's word, and these opportunities of serving God and these practices that help you grow closer to him and are a source of strength and courage, that you might be strong and courageous with whatever you're facing as well. The third piece to why Joshua should be strong and courageous is that God's presence was going to be a part of his life. And this is incredible, and this is exactly the same kind of promise that we can claim as Christians today. This idea of, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you wherever you go. And he also said, like I was with Moses, because I'm sure Joshua had very strong memories of the way that God was with Moses. And he says, just like that, I'm going to be with you also. I will be with you wherever you go. And this is true for us in a powerful way as well. And actually, the book of Hebrews takes these exact words, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and applies them to Christians broadly and said, this is true of us as well. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you wherever you go. This is such an encouraging promise, and this is something that should give us strength and courage. Be strong and courageous, because God promised to never leave us nor forsake us. So we started this series talking about this idea of low-level fear, and I was very honest by saying that this is a struggle for me. Just this idea, when I was thinking about my life, realizing there were so many areas of my life where I had let fear creep in. And not that I was just like stuck in anxiety and fearful and didn't want to go out of the house, or it wasn't that level. It was low-level fear. It was this kind of, here's some examples. I was thinking, realizing that in parenting, I was saying, be careful a little bit too much, right? Because there was some kind of fear there where I was like just constantly concerned about something bad happening to one of my kids. And so be careful, be careful. And realizing that I wasn't trusting God enough there. There was an area where I wasn't being courageous enough even in my own parenting. I get to say as my son sitting on the front row over there. in leadership, risks that I was afraid to take, and things that I feel like God wants me to do, and just fearful of how people might react or what people might say. Finances, just constantly being worried about financial stresses. And what might happen if, you know, this fear that kind of creeps in at a low level. Honestly, being a little too caught up in what you guys think of me when I'm up here preaching. Like, I care a lot about you, and I care a lot about what you think, and maybe a little too much. Where I might hold back a little bit sometimes, or I might, like, just, you know, the last 5% that you really need to hear, and I'm concerned about how you might respond to that, or, you know, that kind of thing. Where it's this low-level stuff that has just creeped in a lot of areas. And what made this even more real and even more of a challenge for me and something that I needed to address was that I was realizing that the early version of me, the one that God first called into ministry, when I didn't know anything, I feel like I was just all zeal and very little knowledge and wisdom, that person was a lot more courageous. And I was thinking, what a shame if now that I've gained wisdom and knowledge and I've been following Jesus for a long time and serving him for a while, what a shame that I would hold back on my courage now that I have more wisdom and knowledge and more to offer that way. What if I was just as courageous as I was when God first called me into ministry? And I don't know what you're struggling with when it comes to fear, but I'm pretty confident that I can share the way I've just been sharing with you, knowing that you can identify with that on some level. Maybe not the specific examples I used. Your examples might be different. But I know that we can all identify to some level with even a low-level fear, or in some cases even like really extreme fear about certain areas of our lives. And I'm pretty confident of this because of Amazon. And here's what I mean. So Amazon, I've shared this before in past sermons, but Amazon keeps track of what you highlight if you use their Kindle app. Did you know that? Or if you have a Kindle and you highlight stuff. They keep track of that kind of information, and one of the things that they released, kind of a press release a few years ago, was one of the most highlighted verses from the Bible on the Kindle app was Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, people are feeling pretty anxious. People are dealing with anxiety and fear. You know, the YouVersion Bible app that many of you use, we have a Bible reading plan that we use on the YouVersion Bible app. They do the same thing. They keep track of the highlighted verses, and you can even go on their website, and they're like, here's the Bible verses that are trending right now, which is interesting. But last year, 2018, they said the verse that was the most popular verse of the year, most highlighted, most people felt like this was the verse that they needed to focus on and think about was this from Isaiah 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That was 2018's verse of the year. 2017's was the one we read, Joshua 1, 9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What I know to be true, and we might even be too afraid to admit it, is that we struggle with fear in ways that are maybe even unique to this time. You know, this is kind of an anxious time in modern American history where, you know, the bad news is spread out far and wide, and there's cable news platforms and social media things that have algorithms that really love to spread bad news and get people fired up about different things. And so people deal with the news in this kind of high level of outrage and anxiety, and people are feeling it at a very deep level in our modern society. They're feeling societal forces and different things going on. They're feeling angry about political things. They're feeling concerned about what we see splashed on the news. And we can find ourselves too often in our lives and in our Christian lives shrinking back for self-preservation. We can hold back. We can try to stay within our comfort zone. It keeps us from even from showing up to church sometimes. It makes us stay where we feel safe. It causes us to not use our gifts or to serve God in meaningful ways because we're afraid. We're fearful. But what we don't realize when we stay within our comfort zone is even staying within our comfort zone comes with a cost. We're doing that because we're trying to avoid risk, but staying in this small place and shrinking back because we're fearful also has its own risks. That we won't be deployed in the purposes of God, that we won't be used by God to do his purposes in the world, be a part of what he's doing in this world. And we won't love people or face our own challenges with self-control and God's power because we're afraid. And when I was thinking about ways that you might be struggling, I was thinking through some different ideas, and I think that, you know, finances is a source of fear for a lot of people. I know that financial provision or things like debt can be a source of anxiety and a lot of fear for people, where almost to the point where it's like, I don't even want to know how much debt I have. I don't want to put it all on one piece of paper because the thought of doing that makes me fearful. Not me, but I'm saying you might be feeling like that. Or the financial challenges, like I don't know how close I am to bankruptcy. I'm not sure I'm going to, yeah, I don't know what you're feeling when it comes to finances, but I know that financial situations are a source of fear for a lot of people. It's a high level of anxiety. And maybe you need God's courage to look at your financial life and to face that with courage as well. To say, I want to honor God in every aspect of how I spend my dollars. And I'm not even just talking about generosity. I'm talking about you living within your means and facing those challenges with courage and considering what it might look like to courageously face those financial challenges and to not be fearful. You might be struggling with addiction. Something that you're facing, you've been trying to quit. And you're realizing that you really need help. But you've been fearful of what the response might be if you reach out for help. And I think God wants you to be courageous with that as well. And to face that with courage. And to reach out and get the kind of help that you need to overcome your struggles. I was thinking about my own kind of life and just this idea and what a lot of you have in common with me, which is parenting, leading a home. And you have children at home and you feel like you haven't been engaged the way you needed to be in their lives when it comes from a spiritual standpoint or leading your family to follow Christ and to honor Christ as a family. And you feel like you need to engage in that, but you're fearful of it. What does that look like, and how will that be received? And I haven't done it all this time, and I don't know what the response will be. And maybe that's a struggle that you need to face with courage. I think in our relationship with Christ and serving him with faithfulness and really diving in fully into our relationship with him, I think some of you, that might be a source of fear, where you go, what might God call me to? What might God ask me to give up for him? And you're holding back just a little bit. And maybe for you, you need to face that with courage. There's something you may not know about Joshua's name that I wanted to share with you that I think is pretty interesting. And it's in Numbers 13, verse 16. When we think about Joshua's example, we think about the way that Joshua faced what God was calling him to face with courage. I want to show you Numbers 13, verse 16. Do we have that? These were the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, and Moses called Hoshea the son of Nun Joshua. Let's leave that verse up on the screen for a few minutes. I've read this before. You might have read this before. I found this fascinating when I was preparing this week. These are the names of the men who Moses sent to spy out the land. Moses called Hoshea the son of Nun Joshua. That doesn't seem interesting on the surface, but I'm going to tell you why that's so interesting. Now, this is the story that 2 weeks ago, if you were here for the life of Caleb, when we were talking about Caleb's story, this is the same passage of scripture. Hoshea is the Hebrew name. It's a Hebrew name, as is Joshua. But Hoshea means salvation. It could be a cry for salvation, like, help, I need salvation, I need help, I need rescue. Or it could just be salvation, right? It's this, that's what it means, salvation. Moses took this man's name, right? His parents gave him that name, Hoshea, and he says, I'm going to call you something else. We're going to change your name. Hoshea is a pretty good name, but I'm going to call you Joshua. Which we're not told why he did that, but I think that's fascinating. I don't feel compelled to change any of your names in the room, just for the record. I don't know how that conversation would go. I'm going to go ahead and change your name to something else, you know. But he says, your name is going to be Joshua now. Joshua means God saves, or Yahweh is salvation. So the name goes from like kind of this cry for help, help, save us, salvation, to Yahweh is our salvation. And this name Joshua then is the name that he's known by, you know, much more widely in the Bible, and the book of the Bible that's named for him is Joshua, but his original name was Hoshea. And I find that fascinating. And the other thing that's, it goes kind of another level down here, which is Joshua is a Hebrew name, but in the Greek, does anyone know what that name is? It's Jesus. So Joshua, or Yeshua in the Hebrew, is the exact same name that Jesus had. And that perhaps that was the name that Jesus went by in the Hebrew context, that Yeshua, not Jesus, and we know him in, the, of course, the Greek name Jesus that he's widely known by throughout the world. But it's the same name. God provides salvation. God saves. It's a cry for salvation. It's a cry for rescue. And I love this verse. I love this idea that God is the one doing the saving. And we think about God's promises, we think about God's presence, we think about these practices of actually spending time with God and that being a source of courage for us. We realize that that courage is possible and the Spirit has been given to us because of Jesus, because of what Jesus has done. And so Jesus' work on the cross for us is this ultimate source of well-being, of safety, of security. And if we will mine that event, this act of love, for all that kind of meaning and security, if we will think about that and absorb that, it is life-changing. It is transformative. It will make you more courageous. It will make you less fearful. If you see Jesus act on the cross as this ultimate provision for you, that God saves, that God rescues, it changes everything for us. Paul says this thing in Romans 8, 31 to 39. He uses the cross to be something that's a source of security for us, and he says it this way, speaking about what we're talking about right now. Romans 8, 31 to 39 says this: "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or disease or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." I want to leave you with a picture, kind of a metaphor, an image of what we're talking about, and it's going to be another clip, another video clip. This is from the movie Moneyball. I read the book, And this is the story of Moneyball, is about the Oakland Athletics. This guy who's the manager of the Oakland A's, the baseball team, Billy Beane, who's the manager for this team. And the whole idea was, how are we going to win baseball games when we have no money? That's kind of how the story started. And in the book, Moneyball, they tell the story of how they used all these analysis and statistics and looking for things that other people weren't looking for, and they really changed professional sports. They were looking for these kind of diamonds in the rough in the minor leagues, and they would find these players and bring them up to the big leagues, and they would become stars, but they would find them before anyone else did so they could afford them. And so this is kind of the story of how they changed really all of professional sports and even major college sports because of the way that they played the game a little bit smarter than everybody else did. But this is just a scene that I want to show you that kind of illustrates what we've been talking about. So let's take a look at the scene.
Come with me to the video room. I want to show you something.
No, man, I'm not for film right now.
Come on, seriously. Come on, Billy, come on. The Visalia Oaks and our 240-pound catcher, Jeremy Brown, who, as you know, scared to run to second base. This was in a game 6 weeks ago. This guy's going to start him off with a fastball. Jeremy's going to take him to deep center. Here's what's really interesting, because Jeremy's going to do what he never does. He's going to go for it. He's going to round first, and he's going to go for it. Okay? This is all of Jeremy's nightmares coming to life.
Oh, they're laughing at him.
And Jeremy's about to find out why. Jeremy's about to realize that the ball went 60 feet over the fence. He hit a home run and didn't even realize it.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
It's a metaphor.
I know it's a metaphor.
I love that metaphor, and I wanted to show you that because I think that you know, when I played softball, church softball, when I was like in high school, and we had a guy on our team that was really good at hitting the ball. He could throw the ball like a mile, but he was not a good runner. And so he would bat, and then I would be the designated runner for him. I would go around the bases because I was a little bit faster than him. And I was thinking about kind of that image of being the designated runner. Someone else is at the base, you know, at home plate, and they knock the ball out of the park. And in this metaphor that I'm using, it's Jesus, right? Jesus has the home run. Jesus has accomplished these important things for us spiritually. He's purchased salvation. God saves. Through Jesus, right? Jesus himself is our Savior. And I am like that runner going around the base that's hugging first base, even though God has already purchased the victory for us. And I was thinking, too often we live these small lives. Too often we hold back. Too often we let fear control our reactions and control our lives. And we need to be bold and courageous. We need to take Joshua's words that he was given by God. And we see in Joshua chapter 1, later in the chapter, the people themselves say this word to Joshua. They say, we're going to follow you. We're going to do what you command. You're going to be in charge. We're going to follow you, but be strong and courageous. And then we see later in chapter 10 of Joshua, where Joshua uses those same words to speak to the people. Say, God is going to give us this victory, but be strong and courageous. And it's almost like he took these words and just owned them. And they stood for all of these things that we talked about. And these became words of strength and power for him. And I hope they will for you as well. I encourage you to be strong and courageous. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you for the example of Joshua. We thank you for this time of learning from his life as he's completed his race. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to run our race well. First of all, for everyone in this room, that they might know you as their Lord and Savior, first of all. Primarily, that they might have a relationship with you through Jesus. Lord, we know that relationship begins by grace through faith. It is a gift from you, and we say yes to you. We receive that gift by faith. We put our trust in you, and we begin to walk with you. And then, Lord, for all of us in this room who are your followers already, Lord, may we be bold and courageous for you. May we not be controlled by fear. Give us the kind of boldness that characterized the early church, where when they faced threats, they faced things that, that were fearful situations. They prayed for boldness. And Lord, we want to be strong and courageous for you as well. Lord, the particular fears that people are struggling with in this room, Lord, I pray that they would see each of those fears and each of those struggles as something that they need to rely on you for, that you are good, that you know what they're going through, that you can be this ultimate resource for them of strength and courage if they will turn to you, if they will realize that you've made promises and commitments to them and that you want to spend time with them, Lord, in these times and also in their own devotional practices and their times with you, Lord, and that you have your presence that you've promised to be with them. So, Lord, we thank you for this time of being together and these important reminders, and we thank you for being here with us and the promises that you've made to us. And we love you. We thank you. Help us to be strong and courageous. Amen. At this point, Pam's going to come back up on the stage and talk a little bit more about SOS.